Baba is flying.
Winning.
He wants question.
He's flying.
Today's tough.
The pages are so long.
And big pages. A lot of material to cover.
Question, you know, I know you're rushing through. You know, so.
It's true. Big pages. Yeah. Thank God. All right. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We were still on Yud Amud Beis on 10B. Last thing we saw was the discussion of whether somebody who kills on purpose also ends up in a city of refuge, maybe even just on a temporary basis. So now we're going to have a series of laws about cities of refuge. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, we are some, I guess 10 lines in the bottom. Ir sheruba rotzchim. If the majority of the people in a city of refuge are themselves murderers, eina koletes, then the city will not be able to save anyone. So, Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, V'diber ba'aznei ziknei ha'ir ha'hi estivarav, and he is to speak in the ears, this is in Yoshua, he's to speak in the ears of the elders of that city, his story. That means that his story is different from the story of the elders of the city. Not that his words are the same as the words of the elders, because the elders themselves are people who've killed. Belazar said another law. If the city doesn't have any elders, then it can't function as a city of refuge protecting the inadvertent killers. Because the Torah talks about the elders. You need to have elders of a city, and you don't have it. Itmar, we learned, if there's a city that doesn't have elders, the same type of argument in regards to Ben Soro Mora. We'll see that in a second. So Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Afsi argue about it. Chad Omer Koletes, one says it can still function as a city of refuge and save a person fleeing there. But Chad Omer Eino Koletes, one says it can't. Lamad Omer Eino Koletes, the reason why the one said that it couldn't save is Be'inan Ziknei Ha'ir Veleka. Because the Torah talks about elders of a city. So if you don't have any elders, then how could this be the right type of a city to save? However, Laman Dharma Koletas, the one who says that he could save even without it having elders, when it mentions elders, mitzvah ba'alma, that's just the ideal. But even without that, it could be saving
people. Rabbi, this city of refugees, they were like a minimum security type jail, or they were heavy security watching them?
No, they didn't. Well, we've seen that. They didn't have to have security watching them, but they had lots of people protecting them because you had the Goel Adam, the next of kin, coming to kill.
They could leave, but they had a risk of getting killed.
That's correct.
Rabbi Ziknei here, sometimes Ziknei, it's Chachmei here, sometimes yeah. It's Mevugari.
No, it means the sages. The sages, yeah. Similarly, V'ir Shein Bazakenim, a city that doesn't have elders, you have the same argument, Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi, whether a person in it could become a Ben Sorero Moret. A child in it who steals and doesn't listen to his parents. Chad Amar Naaseh b'Ben Soro Moret. One says a child in it could become a Ben Soro Moret. V'Chad Amar Eino Naaseh b'Ben Soro Moret. He couldn't become a Ben Soro Moret. L'Mad Amar Eino Naaseh b'Ben Soro Moret. The one who says that a city without elders doesn't have the possibility of Ben Soro Moret. Because in the whole story of Ben Soro Moret being in Ziknei Iru, the Torah talks about the parents bringing him to the elders of the city. There are no elders of the city here. Veleka, here you don't have elders of the city. But the one who says he could become a Ben Soro Moret, when it talks about elders of the city, Mitzvah Ba'alma, that's just talking about the ideal, but not saying that it is a requirement. V'ir Shein Bazakenim, a city that doesn't have any elders. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi argue. Chad Amar once said, Mevia Egla Arufa, that if that city is closest to a dead body and the paths between the cities, the people of that city have to bring the calf that has its neck chopped off in the riverbed. One opinion is that it doesn't bring an egla rufa. The one who says it does not have the ability to bring an egla rufa because being in ziknia ir veleka, because you'd have to have elders of a city. You don't have that here. The one who says it would bring an egla rufa mitzvah ba'alma, it's just ideal to have the elders of the city. Why in the book of Yehoshua is the whole story of setting aside the cities of refuge described with harsh words? For example, there's a difference between Vayomer Hashem versus Vayedaber Hashem. Vayomer Hashem is soft, Vayedaber Hashem is harsh, is strong. It says there, Vayedaber Hashem al Yehoshua lemor. Vayedaber Hashem. There was a harsh command to Yehoshua saying, Daber al bnei Yisrael lemor, tell the Jewish people, Tnu lachem es arei hamiklat asher dibarti aleichem, set aside for yourselves the cities of refuge that I have spoken to you. So why there is a dibur and not amira? Answer is, Mipnei shein shel Torah, because God is telling him, go do that which the Torah already commanded. So he's saying, you know, do something which was already commanded. So therefore, there's a certain harshness to it. But when Hashem talks to Yahushua with new commands, it's Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem speaks in a soft way. Lememra, does that imply the whole Dibur Lashon Kasha, that whenever we have the word Dibur, there means a certain toughness to it, a harshness to it? Answer the Gemara, in it, that's exactly what it means. Kedoksiv, as the Pasuk says, Diber ha'ish adonai ha'aretz itanu kashos. The brothers tell Yaakov, the man who's the master of the land, spoke with us harsh words with all sorts of accusations. I asks the Gemara, v'atayne b'ilut in a braisa. The verse says in Malachi, az nidberu yirei Hashem ishol re'ehu, then those who fear God speak with each other. Nidberu in Nidbru, they will speak. A Nidbru alashon nachas. That means they'll speak nicely to each other. So you see that Dibur is not harsh, it's soft. V'cheinu Omer, and the verse says, Yad beramim tachteinu. He will put nations underneath us. In other words, those nations will be soft to us. They'll be submissive to us. So again, Dibur is not harshness. The Gemara says there's a difference between Daber Lechud and Yadber Lechud. In other words, Daber or Vayedaber is harsh. But Nidberu or Yadber implies a certain softness. Okay, going back to this discussion about why God speaks harshly to Yehoshua about finally setting up the cities of refuge. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbis have an argument about this. Chad Omer once said, Mipnei Sheshihim. God was harsh with Yehoshua because Yehoshua didn't rush to do them right away. He waited with them. He sort of dragged his feet. Since he dragged his feet, God spoke to him harshly. Hey, there are cities of refuge. You're supposed to put them out. Chad Omer, the other opinion is, Mipnei Shein Shel Torah. God was speaking harshly because he's telling Yehoshua, this is a Torah obligation. This you have to take very seriously. This is not a prophet obligation. This is a biblical obligation. All right, now going through the verses about what it says there. So it says there with Yehoshua, Vayichtov Yehoshua Sadvarim Ha'ele B'Sefer Torah Elokim. And Yehoshua wrote these words in the book of Hashem's Torah. So Pligi, but we have an argument here. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, Chad Amar, what did he write? So one says, Shmona Psukim, he wrote the last 8 Psukim of the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't say, I died. So Yehoshua wrote them. So he wrote verses in the Torah of Hashem. V'chad Omer, but one other one says, no, those 8 psukim were already written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean that he wrote? He wrote in his own book this section about Arei Miklat, about cities of refuge. Now, Bishma Laman Damar Shmona Psukim, if you're going to say that he wrote the verses referring to the fact that Yehoshua wrote the last 8 psukim of the verses, that's what the verse says. He wrote it in the book of Hashem's Torah. El mandam ari miklat. But if we're talking about the section about the cities of refuge, so my b'sefer Torah selokim. So why mention in the book of Hashem's Torah? Hachikam, this is what it means. Yichtav Yehoshua b'sifro, and Yehoshua wrote in his own book. Es advar ma'ela, these things haksuvim b'sefer Torah selokim, which are first mentioned in the Torah of Hashem, namely that there should be cities of refuge. Moving on for a second to the laws of a Sefer Torah. Sefer Shetafru B'Pishtan. You know that the Sefer Torah is written with a with parchments, and the parchments, you write a column of print on a parchment, and then you write a column of print on the next parchment, and the two parchments are connected together, they're sewed together, and we usually sew them together with gidin, with sinews, with the tendons of animals that are dried out. What about a Sefer Torah, Shetafru B'Pishtan, a Sefer Torah that was sewed together with thread that comes from flax fibers? So Pligi Ba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. So here we have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Chad Omer Kasher, one says that the Sefer Torah is still Kasher. Chad Omer Pasel, one says the Sefer Torah is Pasel. Laman Omer Pasel, the one who says it's Pasel, because the Torah says, Laman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha, so that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. And that's in regards to tefillin. It says in regards to tefillin, Laman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha. So we learn from there that it has to be things that could go into your mouth, that the whole tefillin is made of those things. But also you're seeing in that pasuk that Torah is linked to the tefillin. So that means the whole Torah is linked to tefillin. That means Sefer Torah is linked to tefillin. So ma tefillin, so just like in tefillin, halach l'moshe mi-sinai, we have a tradition from Moshe at Sinai, l'tov from begidin, that the tefillin have to be sewed together with sinews. Afkol l'tov from begidin. So that tells you also a Sefer Torah has to be sewed with sinews, and it can't be sewed with flax. But the other one will tell you, no. Kiyiskish, when is there a comparison between tefillin and Sefer Torah? L'motar b'ficha, to tell you that just like the tefillin has to be made from things that are kosher, so too the Sefer Torah has to be made from things that are kosher. But l'hilchosa, but these halachos l'moshe mi-sinai, that the tefillin are put together with sinews, that's the thread, that lo iskish, that was not compared to Sefer Torah. Amar Rav, Rav said, chazinan l'hu l'tefillin d'bei chavivi. I saw the tefillin of my beloved, in other words, I saw the tefillin of my uncle, Rebbe Chia, the tefira b'kitna, he had tefillin that were sewed together with strands of flax. But halacha is not like him, he was wrong. Tefillin certainly have to be sewed together with sinews, not with flax.
The sinews are from kosher animals,
correct,
right?
Correct.
If it's non-kosher, it's
no good.
Is that the Torah today, sewn with sinews?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is that tapey thing? That tape?
Oh, yeah, I think it's just regular tape.
And that's allowed?
I guess the real just sewing
protection,
is...
protection. Just
yeah.
From this, it has to be edible, no?
No, permissible. Kosher. Not that you have to eat it. The sinews are not edible, but it has to be permissible, not treif. All right, going back to the laws of the city of refuge, we know that if a man kills by mistake through an act of negligence, he was coming down a ladder, so he should have been more careful, and he wasn't, and he slips and he falls and he kills somebody. So he has to run to a city of refuge, and he has to stay there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. That's what the pasuk says. Ki bi'ir miklato yeshev ad mos ha-kohen ha-gadol, v'acharei mos ha-kohen ha-gadol yashuv ha-rotzeach el eretz achuzaso. And then the Torah says a little bit later, v'los t'kukofer lanus al-ir miklato lashuv l'sheves ba'aretz ad mos ha-kohen. So, which Kohen Gadol's death would permit the murderer to leave the city of refuge? So, the different types of Kohen Gadols. Echad mashuach b'shem ha-meshcha. Whether he's a Kohen Gadol who became Kohen Gadol because he was anointed with the anointing oil, those were the Kohanim Gadolim until the days of King Yoshiyahu, or a Kohen Gadol who was a Kohen Gadol because he started to wear all the garments of the Kohen Gadol, or a Kohen Gadol who is a temporary Kohen Gadol. Let's say a Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur had a discharge of semen. So now he became impure, so he can't do the service of Yom Kippur. So the point person who was the alternate Kohen Gadol would now step in. But now once he becomes pure after Yom Kippur, the first Kohen Gadol gets his position back. So this guy who was there just for a day, he's called the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar. So if he dies also, Machzirin Esarotzeach, they cause the murderer to be able to come back from the city of refuge. So there are three types of Kohanim Gadolim that can cause the murderer to come back from the city of refuge. Kohen Gadol anointed with the anointing oil, which we lost at the end of the first temple. Kohen Gadol, who was Kohen Gadol because he wore all eight garments and did the service. Or a Kohen Gadol who was there temporarily as a Kohen Gadol, even though now he's not a Kohen Gadol anymore, he's also Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a fourth Kohen Gadol. Af Mashuach Milchama, the Kohen Gadol who was in charge of telling the soldiers inspiring messages before they go to war, the Sagan, the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, he also, if he dies, allows the person in the city of refuge to leave. So Af Mashuach Milchama, Mazir Sarotzeach, brings back the murderer. Okay, so whatever type of Kohen Gadol it is, there is at least three Kohanim Gadolim, maybe a fourth Kohen Gadol who can allow the murderer to leave. So therefore, lefichach, for this reason, imosein shel kohanim, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, would want to be very nice to the murderers in the cities of refuge. Mesapkos lehem michyu ksus, they bring them food, you know, cookies and other things that they would bake, and clothing, kadesh lo yisfalo bneim shemusus, so that these people not be praying that their children die, because if they pray, maybe that'll hasten the death of their children, and then these people would be able to leave the cities of refuge. Says the Gemara Minat Amili, how do we know this, that these are the Kohanim Gadolim, that if they die, a murderer can leave the city of refuge? Answer the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana answered, Amar Kaka, the Pasuk says, V'yashavba, and he should stay in it, at Mosa Kohen Gadol, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Uksiv in the verse says, Ki bi'ir miklato yeshev, for he shall sit in the city of refuge, at Mosa Kohen Gadol, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Uksiv, then there's a third time where it mentions Kohen Gadol. The verse says, V'achrei mos, HaKohen HaGadol, and after the Kohen HaGadol were to die. For Rabbi Yehuda, who says there's a fourth Kohen Gadol, Ksiv Krachmin, he'll tell you there's another verse, Lashuv Hashev Esba'aretz, and Mos HaKohen. So he's supposed to stay until the death of the Kohen. So the fourth time it says Kohen is to include a Kohen Mashuach Mulchama. V'idach, and the opinions that disagree with Rabbi Yeshua will tell disagree with Rabbi Yehuda will tell you. It looks if HaGadol, since in that fourth case it doesn't say HaKohen HaGadol, just as HaKohen, Chad Mehanachu, that's to imply that it's just one of the earlier ones, it's not a different type of Kohen Gadol.
Rabbi, did they have a Bezdin in those city of refuge?
Sure.
They had to hold the Bezdin situation?
Yeah.
Now, if this Kohen Gadol died, who makes a decision which of these murderers could be...
They all, all of them.
God did. All of them.
That's a party. Yeah, they can all go out.
One Kohen Gadol, everybody's...
Oh, we're about to see if it's one or three, but yeah. What's that?
But what's the relationship between the passing away of the Kohen Gadol to the fact that he's actually...
It's what it's in the Torah, but we'll see soon. The Gemara will explain that the Kohen Gadol is held liable, that he should have prayed that these things not happen. That one of the responsibilities of a leader, besides, you know, helping and doing... He also has to pray that his people should be okay and that mishaps not happen on them. And to some degree, that if they did happen, his prayer was deficient. Okay, so that going further. Lefikach, therefore, the Mishnah says, Imosein shel kohanim, the mothers of the kohanim used to bake and prepare all sorts of treats for the people. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Time of the whole purpose is to lo matzli, that the murderers not pray. Hamatzli, but apparently if the murderers would be praying Maisi, they would be worried that their children, the Kohanim Gadolim, would die. Why should you care about these people's prayers? Vaksiv, doesn't the verse say, Kitzipor la'nod, like a free bird wandering, Kidror la'uf, like a free bird, you know, flying, Kain kilaschinim lo'savo, that's the same thing, when there's a curse and no reason, somebody who has no grounds to curse me, who curses me, it's not going to happen to me, he had no right to curse me, so why would they care? So the Gemara explains, who's Saba? There was this old man, Mipirka de Rava, went to the classes of Rava. He said, Shmieli, I heard the answer. Shahayalahen levakesh rachmim al doron. The Kohanim Gedolim are not innocent. They should have prayed for their generation. Velo bikshu, and they didn't. So therefore, they are liable to die based on the prayers of the murderers, because they are to some degree at fault for the murderers being there. Ikadamasnu, some have a different version that the mothers would bring cakes, kideshi yispalo b'neim, so that the murderers pray for the Kohanim Gedolim, shelo yamusu, that they not die. In other words, according to this version, time of the matzlu, you need the murderers to be praying to keep the Kohanim alive. Halo matzlu, but if the murderers are not praying, maisa, then the Kohanim would be dying. What do you mean? Why would the Kohanim be dying? My Havelei Lamehabad. It's not their fault. What did they have to do that this murderer killed? So my answer is, Ha Chaminan. We say it over here, right? Tuvya Chataf, Tuvya sins. Zegud Mingad. Is Zegud going to be the one who's going to be hit? Hasam in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Shechem Nasiv. So Shechem is, you know, running around. He took Dina. Magvai, Mabgai, who's a resident of Shechem. Gazir, he has to have the Bris Milah on him. So why should it be that the Kohen Gadol will be dying unless people are praying to keep him alive? He didn't kill by mistake. Other people killed by mistake. So here we had this answer. Amar Husava. So there was this old man who said, Mipirka de Rava Shmieli. I heard it in the yeshiva of Rava, in Rava's big class. Shahayalan Levakish Rachim al Doran, the low bikshu, the Kohanim Gedolim should have been praying for their generation and they didn't. So therefore they are somewhat responsible for these deaths that are happening. Kihad Ahu Gavra, there was a story with a man. Ta'achle Arye, Barichuk, plus a parsa mined, Yubishub and Levi. Three parsa away from Yubishub and Levi, a lion ate him. So for the next 3 days, Liyo Anavi wouldn't talk to Yubishub and Levi. Why was he upset with Yubishub and Levi? Yubishub and Levi should have been praying that such a thing not happen. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda said no in the name of Rav, talking about curses. Kill as chacham, a curse from a sage. Afilu bechinam, even if it turns out that it wasn't based on anything, Hiba, it will come true. I mean, Nellan, what's the source of that? From a famous story about Achitofel that we learned about in Masechet Sanhedrin. Achitofel was an advisor of David HaMelech. What was the story? David cursed him. Shebashah Shekara David Sheetim. When David opened up the deep holes that lead from the Mizbeach down into the depths, Hafa Tahoma, so the depths of the water started to rise. They wanted to drown the world. Amar, so David said, what am I going to do? There's going to be a big flood. Could I write God's name on a piece of pottery, on a shard, and throw it into the depths of the waters, the lake that the water should go back to their place? Can I do it? Can I not do it? Am I allowed? No one would tell him. Amar, so he said, anyone who knows the law, but he doesn't tell me, he will die by being choked. So at that point, Achitofel spoke up and he said, you know what? I know what the law is. And here it is. It's based on logic. You can write the name of God in a shard and throw it into the water and save humanity. Why? Here, when you have a situation of sota, to make peace between husband and wife, God says, my holy name can be erased in waters. So, to bring peace to the whole world, certainly God's holy name can be erased. So he said to him, all right, Shari, it's allowed. So, Kasav Shema Chaspa, David HaMelech wrote God's name on a piece of pottery. Shadia Tahoma threw it into the waters. Nachas and the waters came down. And they were where they were supposed to be. So, what did David do? He had given a curse. If someone doesn't tell me, in the end, Achitofel did say. So there's no grounds for the curse. But this is the way Achitofel died. Afilaki, nevertheless, it says, Achitofel ra ki lo nastatsa so. Achitofel saw that Avshalom did not listen to his advice. He saddled up his donkey. He went to his home, which was in Gilo, near Yerushalayim, to the south of Yerushalayim, Veliro. He gave orders to his household, and he choked to death. So he died by choking. Amr Bavo said, "Kill as chacham, the curse of a sage. Afilu al tnai, even if it's made with a condition, hiba, it will come true. It will come true." Minalan, where do we see that? From Eli. Tekamale l'Shmuel. Eli tells the prophet Shmuel, "You better tell me what God told you, because if you don't, ko yaseh l'cha Elokim v'ko yosif, this is what God should do to you, and He should add." If you hide from me anything. So then Shmuel is forced and he tells Eli, yes, I had a prophecy that your children are going to die. Even though it says that Shmuel told all these things to Eli, he didn't hide anything from him. But the curse came true. That what Eli said, what's done to me should be done to you, happened to Shmuel. Shmuel's children did not follow in his ways. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda told in the name of Rav. If somebody puts himself into excommunication, he curses himself, even if it's with a condition, it's going to come true. Tzarach hafara, you'd need to have some effort by sages to remove it. Minalan, what's the source? Yehuda. that the brothers tell Yaakov, we need to bring Binyamin down to Egypt, otherwise the ruler won't let us in. So Yaakov doesn't want to send Binyamin, so then Yehuda curses himself. Tchsiv, Yehuda says, Im lo av yisiv elecha, if I don't bring him back, v'chatasi lecha kol hayamim, I will be a sinner for all time, namely in the future world as well, I'll be a sinner. And in the fact, Binyamin is brought back safely, because Yaakov comes down to Egypt himself, and he sees Binyamin. And yet, I'm Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm Reb Yonah's son, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to remove the curse from Yehuda. My dechsev, where's the reverse? At the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yechi Reuven v'al Yamos, let Reuven live and not die. V'zos l'Yehuda. And this is the message for Yehuda. What is that? It means the following. Kolos and Arbaim Shana Shayisal Bamidbar, for the 40 years that the Jews were traveling through the desert, the bones of Yehuda were not connected to the skeleton. They were rolling around in the coffin. Shaman Moshe. So Moshe had to stand. And Moshe has to daven for Yehuda. Amalafana of Moshe says to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Who inspired Reuven to do tshuva? Reuven admits to Yaakov that he did something wrong in moving the beds. Who inspired Reuven? Yehuda. It was Yehuda. Because Reuven saw that Yehuda admitted that Tamar was right and he was wrong, that he had impregnated Tamar. And when Reuven saw Yehuda's actions, that inspired Reuven. So then, v'zos l'Yehuda. And then Moshe Rabbeinu continues and says, and this should be for Yehuda. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. God, listen to the voice of Yehuda. What does that mean? So then, al evare l'safa. So all of his limbs went back to where they were supposed to connect.
All 12 sons were brought out of Egypt?
Yes, that's right.
It was just Moshe?
No, not just Yosef, all the 12, that's right. But still, lo havukamayla leilu masifta derekia, the angels wouldn't allow Yehuda to enter into the yeshiva in heaven. So then Moshe continues and says, ve'elamotavienu, bring him to his nation. But Yehuda didn't know how to engage in the give and the back and forth of learning with the other sages. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yadav Ravlo, give his hands much strength. He didn't know how to respond to questions, to answer the questions. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven ve'ezer mitzarav tiyeh, and give him a help from his enemies. So what do you see? That Yehuda was not going to get into heaven. He wasn't going to be able to engage in heaven. Why? What did Yehuda do wrong? Because he had cursed himself. He said, V'chatasi l'avi kol hayamim, I will sin to my father. So you see that even though the curse was on a condition, and the condition wasn't fulfilled, he did bring back, ultimately, Binyamin. Nevertheless, the curse came true. So you see that any time a person is put into excommunication, even on a condition, he needs to have it removed.
But Rabbi, didn't Yosef put Yehuda in jail as a hostage for the
Shimon?
Shimon. Yeah. He did Shimon. So Yehuda was free.
Yeah.
All three Kohens have to die.
That's the next question. So now, the Mishnah spoke about different types of Kohen Gadol. So is the Kohen Gadol anointed by the anointing oil? The Kohen Gadol becomes Kohen Gadol by virtue of wearing all the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And there is the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, who served as a Kohen Gadol but been removed from his post because he was only a replacement Kohen Gadol. Then there's a fourth Kohen Gadol, according to Reb Yehuda, namely the Kohen Gadol, the great Kohen who's part of the army, who gives them inspiring messages. Ibailu, that a question in the yeshiva. The Misas Kulanu Chozer, does the murderer come back after all three of them die? Odumo Misas Echad Mehen, or maybe it's the death of only one of them. Tashma, come in here. Proof, Nigmar Dina below Kohen Gadol. If there is a final judgment and there's no Kohen Gadol alive, then Eino Yotze Misham Leolam. Then the murderer is never going to get out of there because there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the conviction. Vim Isa, now if you're going to say this law, that either one of the three Kohanim who dies springs the murderer free from the city of refuge. So then, even if the Kohen Gadol, who's not anointed, is not alive, so what? Who's anointed is not alive, so what? Lehed b'dahanach, let some of the other Kohanim who die be able to spring him free. So the Gemara says, no, that just means Bedeleka, when there was no Kohen Gadol at all alive, so there's no one to spring him free. But in terms of whether it's all three having to die or just one having to die, that you don't have a proof one way or the other. But it does seem that it's only just one who needs to die.
That includes all these Kohen Gadols that they were not qualified to do Kodesh Kodeshim and
that's
they
true.
Died.
That's true. Right, yeah.
So, always the city of
they were Kohen Gadol because they were Merubeh Begadim. They had all the added garments on them, so they had the status of Kohen Gadol. When they died, they would free the murderer from the city of refuge.
There's so many Kohen Gadols died.
There were a lot. There was like 300 during the time
of
the second temple.
The city of refuge was always empty.
The second temple, there were 300 over 420 years.
Yeah.
They would die right after Yom Kippur.
They would die. Within the year, they would die.
And we said that in the second temple, there was
He didn't have the anointing oil.
Oh, the anointing oil.
He didn't have the anointing oil, but he had the extra garments. Yeah, David, a question.
Spring free, then nobody's allowed to get back to him.
That's correct. That's right. So now the Mishnah says, Mishanigmar Dino, if the inadvertent murderer was convicted, and then he got to go to a city of refuge, and then Mace Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol dies before he actually gets to the city of refuge. So he doesn't have to go to the city of refuge. But let's say before he was convicted, the Kohen Gadol dies. And another Kohen Gadol was appointed. And after the second Kohen Gadol was appointed, he was convicted. So now he goes to the city of refuge. When the second Kohen Gadol dies, he now comes back, he comes out of the city of refuge. Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol. Let's say he was convicted when there was no Kohen Gadol around. Or, Ahore Kohen Gadol, a man who killed the Kohen Gadol by mistake. Or a Kohen Gadol Shaharak who kills by mistake. Then Eino Yotze Misham Liholam. In these three cases, he never has an ability of getting out of the city of refuge. From the city of refuge.
Yeah.
So now the Mishnah says some more laws about the guy in the city of refuge. Eino yotze misham liolam. He can't leave it for any. I'm sorry, no. Eino yotze, and a person in the city of refuge doesn't have a right to leave. Lo le'edus shel mitzvah, not to testify. Let's say he saw the new moon. He wants to run to Yerushalayim. He can't go. Ve'lo le'edus mamon, even if he has testimony about money, he can't go to testify. For the latest nefashos, even if he has testimony about a matter of life and death, he can't leave. Now, even if the entire Jewish people need him for some need, he can't go. Even if this inadvertent murderer was the top general, like Yoav, he can't leave the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol dies. Shenamar, as the verse says, Asher Nas Shama, that he has to go to the city of refuge, that he runs to there. Shama, meaning Shamte Diraso, that should be where he lives. Shamte Misaso, if the Kohen Gadol is still alive, that's where he dies. Shamte Kvuraso, if the Kohen Gadol is still alive, that's where he gets buried. Kishem Sha'ir Koletes, the same way the city of refuge itself saves him. Kach Tchuma Kolet, so too when he's within 2,000 amos of the city, he is now protected. If the murderer, though, left the city, he left the outskirts, the 2,000 amos around the city, and the next of kin finds him. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, there's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to kill him, or Rishus Biad Kol Adam. Anyone who wants to could kill him. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Rishus Biad Gol Adam, the Gol Adam has the right to kill him, the Chol Adam, but other people who kill him, Chayavan Alav, would be considered murderers, and they are not allowed to kill him. They would be put to death for having killed him.
So it's not because he's disqualified as a witness, it's because they don't want to...